know you're broken hearted, cause the peace you're hoping for is off the scenes apart.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other podcast from IlliniBoard.com. Tonight, or today, on the podcast, by popular demand from the Slack channel, is Martin O'Donnell. I texted him last night when somebody on the Slack said, hey, you guys should do a pod to talk about this football stuff. And I said, great idea. And I texted him and he said, great idea. And so we're talking. So, Martin, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, so we finalized the staff this evening. So we now have 10 assistants. You last night were kind of fired up on Twitter, pretty much in a let's go mood, as you saw the staff coming together and everything else. So let's just get your big picture. Like, here's where my thoughts are. Here's why I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not just the staff. I mean, it's everything, right? And, you know, that was just kind of I've been busy with my, you know, my job here a lot over the past couple weeks. And, you know, so I miss a lot of stuff during the day and sometimes I catch bits and things here. But, you know, I was just kind of, you know, reading the stuff and, you know, Rod Perry coming back and, you know, Owen Carney coming out of the transfer portal and all that stuff. And, you know, and then, you know, just looking at the staff and reading a few more things. And yeah, I mean, I'm fired up, man. Like, look, I mean, I'm one of the 17. Like, I'm the Illinois football junkie. Like, this is, yep, this is what we do.
Yep.
Right. And so, you know, it's something that it's a lot of fun to have, you know, because I can get excited over, I mean, give me something to get excited over and I'm going to be excited, right? Like, I'm a silver lining guy. I'm going to try to find the positivity. You know, and there's been a couple tough years here recently, but certainly you get to a point where, I mean, I just feel like the energy is the fan base is re-energized. You know, I like everything that Brett Bielema has done kind of since he took the job. You know, again, it's just kind of, you know, various things. It could be everything from, you know, reading things about what recruits are saying and, you know, analysts and, you know, me talking to some people and things like that. And it's just, it's nice to see. It's nice to see kind of the energy. You know, again, I think the staff is diverse. It's different. It's a lot of people that Brett Bielema has ties to. And I think that's something that's, you know, it's fun to see. It's fun to see, you know, now this staff is finalized and I haven't been able to dive into it too much. And I'm not really, I know there are people and you're probably one of them, Bob, you know, that, you know, folks who have, you know, assistants on the radar and hey, here's who they should get and things like that. And, you know, there's a couple of names that I recognize because I, you know, we are similar vintage and in terms of playing and stuff like that. But I think I like the resumes. I like the way it's come together. And again, I think you take this football staff and you take a ton of guys returning on the field and, you know, gives me a lot of reason to be excited about football this fall.
You didn't overlap with George McDonald. He was gone in 98. You were a freshman in 03.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever met him? Do you know him from any alumni or like
I don't
any
think so. Kind
of football things or no?
I don't think so.
I mean, he's
no,
been pretty
not,
busy
not
with,
that I can recall.
With other programs. You know, he's basically been in coaching since he left and, you know, obviously he's not going to come to some Friday night alumni event at Illinois when he's a coach at NC State or whatever, you know.
Well, he's going now, buddy.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big deal to me to have a guy who played here on the staff. You know, I was hoping for Aaron Moorhead just because he has, you know, recruiting experience and he has, you know, I just like the Illinois connection. So, you know, as a player, mm-hmm, and a guy on the radio, like, does that mean something to you? Is that big to you that there's a former player, you know, there's a connection there on the staff?
Yeah, it does. I think it's important. I mean, I think it's important to have somebody, you know, it's because it's different, right? I think it's important to have somebody who's on the coaching staff who can relate to the guys on the team in that way. Where that is somebody, they wore the orange and blue, they wore the black eye. They it's important to them, you know. And it's and obviously, you know, every coach, you know, they'll you know go to different schools and things like that. And you know, there's a ton of value that can be brought, obviously, not by being an alumnus of a school, but I think it helps to have, you know, a guy on the staff who gets it, who knows. And You know, that's one of the things that, you know, I was on one of the Zooms with, you know, with Bielema, you know, with, you know, former football players. And he said that that was important to him to have, you know, one of those guys on the staff and guys like that as part of the program. So, you know, good to see that he followed through, you know, on that. You know, obviously it doesn't look like Mike Bellamy's a part of the staff, and that's unfortunate. Really like Mike. You know, again, he's a good coach and he'll land somewhere. I have no doubt, but I think it helps to have somebody who's worn the orange and blue, gets it from the player perspective, because there's a lot of, I mean, there's obviously a lot of history at Illinois, but there's a lot of like history at Illinois. Like, you know what I mean? In terms of somebody who understands that this program, you know, has excelled, can excel, but then there's just a lot of heartburn there over the past, you know, several decades that we all as fans now carry with us. And I think it's helpful to have somebody that kind of understands what that means as a player, you know, from the player's perspective, I should say.
Yeah. Since you were on that Zoom call, obviously it's a private Zoom call of Bielema and the players, but can you give us some insight on like what the reaction was like and what, you know, how the players reacted to him and how he did in front of that group and all that kind of stuff?
I mean, that was a couple of weeks ago now, man. I mean, it might as well be light years away by now. No, but I think it's consistent, right? I think, you know, he's done, and I think it's great, you know, doing outreach, doing the Zoom calls, you know, with, you know, the alumni clubs and stuff like that. And it's consistent. I mean, the guy, you know, I was very impressed with his opening press conference, you know, in terms of the notes that he hit on. And, you know, it's consistent with that. I think he just understands what the program is. The thing that I've been most impressed about him, and I do think it's genuine. And I've heard him say, you know, in various interviews and things like that. I think he even said it in your, when you interviewed him, Bob, but you know, he really is still in listening, right? Like he wants to hear from a lot of people in terms of, you know, what can Illinois do better as a football program? You know, what can, you know, he as the head football coach do to help get the program there? And, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that he said on the Zoom call, I believe with, you know, with the former players was, you know, he doesn't know what he doesn't know and he wants help with that. Right. So like, I think that's helpful just in terms of like everything, you know, it's all kinds of stuff comes up, whether it's, you know, it's admissions or it's, hey, you know, and this is me thinking, you know, it's admissions. It's, hey, how does Illinois interact with Chicago? How does Illinois interact with, you know, St. Louis? What about Indianapolis? You know, just kind of, you know, regional metropolitan centers. I think there's stuff like that that, you know, obviously people who are around Illinois, and it's not just Illinois football, but, you know, University of Illinois in general, have some feeling with kind of what the, you know, what the factions are there. And so that's just kind of the gist I got is he's very much wanting to gather as much information as possible. And I think he's going to take that, synthesize it, and then use that as he deems necessary, which I think is the absolute right approach. You know, you can't just, it's just like any coach taking over a roster. You can't just say, I'm running my system. This is a system that I'm going to run. It's, you know, I think if you're doing it really well, you're saying, what's my roster? What can I run? Let's go there. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you with the players coming back? Yeah, let's talk offensive line for a bit. So I'm putting together this scholarship chart that I have up on the Slack channel, and I think there's 19 scholarship offensive linemen. Like,
it's great.
It is as deep. I don't think we've ever had that many. Now it's because the seniors can come back, and Palcho and Kramer and Vidarian Lowe, and technically Blake Gerasotti is coming back as well, even though he was injured all this year. But, you know, when you have four seniors coming back and you had 15 planned on the roster, you know, you have the three freshmen coming in. Four freshmen coming in. It's going to be a heavy offensive line room, which is probably good for.
Unintended. Is that pun intended?
Yes.
Is that a cheap shot? Yeah.
Are you on the wall, by the way? Did you get a photo on the wall in the OL room? Come on, you got to be on the wall, right? You're on the wall.
I don't think so.
You have to be on the wall.
I think I've only been in there once.
Yeah? Okay, now I got to look it up. Look, I have pictures. Look, man, you like need it, to be on the wall. You're All-American.
Bob.
All-American.
It's one of those things where the farther you get away from it, the more people can be like, oh, yeah, he was a great player. It's like, nah, it was kind of trash for a little bit, and then it ended okay because we had a good team, right? Like, it's not.
All-American.
But when I, What I would say is I think it's great to have that kind of depth. I mean, that's the kind of depth you want to have in an offensive line room, because you need to be able to have 10 guys that can step up and play, and you need to be able to be developing the other five or six guys in running scout team. I mean, it's not that long ago that this roster, and whether it be through injuries or attrition, like, they're having trouble practicing with offensive lines. Like, they couldn't put them together.
Yeah.
And so I think it's great to have that kind of depth, and you really allow guys to develop and mature. You know, a guy like Jordan Slaughter gets an opportunity to develop and mature. And I think what you see with a position group like this is, again, you saw it at Wisconsin. You see it at Wisconsin. You see it at programs that are what Illinois wants to be and absolutely can be, where it's, no, you have guys who they eat, they, you know, they develop, they lift, and they learn the offense and they learn the system. And then they're ready to contribute sometimes 3-4 years in, and then they're solid starters for a couple of years, rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Right. And so, because you don't want to have to be in a position where Illinois, like Illinois, you're starting four true freshmen or whatever the heck it was with, you know, Palcho and Bedarian Lowe and those guys. And, but it, so I think it's good. I'm excited that there's a lot of depth. I didn't notice that as well. Or in terms of the scholarships, I saw 19 offensive linemen, and that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. So if Jarisotti does start, so you're going to be starting four seniors again. So they're going to be having, you know, I'm just thinking of Bart Miller going into his first meeting here with his line, you know, the beginning of spring ball, even just the offensive meetings. There's the discussion is going to be, look, we got all these seniors back and they're pretty good, and this could be a decent line and everything else. But are we ready to do that our first year and then start over a second year with only Virtus Brown coming back, you know, or are we going to start kind of thinking toward the future? So, you know, I've already penciled in the four seniors as starting, but we never know if that's going to be the case. New coaches, new scheme.
Sure.
Could be new players.
No, and I think, you know, and again, I know it's verbal semantics, but with the guys we have coming back on the offensive line, It shouldn't be a decent offensive line. I want it to be one of the best offensive lines in the Big Ten. And I genuinely think that not only it can be, but it should be. And so, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, again, you got all these guys that come back. And again, I think it's fantastic. You know, all these guys came back because, you know, 2020 is such a weird season, right? Like, I mean, and everybody went through it, yes. But it's a weird season, and especially with Illinois. I mean, you have the disappointing Wisconsin game. And Brandon Peters gets COVID, and then you have all these guys out, and he just causes all kinds of shuffling, you know, just doesn't work out as a season. So I think it's nice that these guys want to come back. I think it's a credit again to Brett Bielema and to his staff that they convinced those guys to come back. Because that's the other thing too, is like 6 years of playing college football is a lot of football, right? Like that's a huge life commitment.
Yep.
And so you have an opportunity to get these guys in all these positions to come back. And I think what they want to do, I mean, I know that those guys really thought 2020 was going to be the year that they really broke through. And you have a lot of guys that were together for a long time. And so I think it's great, you know, run it back one more time, you know, kind of one last ride. And I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's really encouraging to see some of the, you know, as you know, I'm a transfer portal guy. I think it's great for Illinois. I liked it with Lovey. I like it with Bielema. You know, we obviously have safety depth, and to go get a guy from Alabama who couldn't crack the lineup at Alabama, that's great. Like, that's the perfect use of the transfer portal in my mind. So that gets me looking at offense, and with Casey Washington going to Wake Forest, I feel good about the offensive line. I feel great about the tailbacks, especially with Chase Hayden coming in as a transfer and Reggie Love in his second year. Quarterback room, you've got what you know. It'll be a Peters Williams battle, and who knows if Deuce Spann or somebody else can stick their name in there. Tight end, Barker and Ford, you're good. Like, you have what you need. Wide receiver is the question. You know, you lost Bebe. Casey Washington transferred, so it's basically Hightower and Donnie, and then a bunch of question marks. Is it Cumbie? Is it, you know, that type of thing? So I think wide receiver on the offense is I think it's everybody's biggest concern going into this season. I honestly, depth wise, I feel good everywhere else. I think every other position is fine. Like you have what you need to start out, basically.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, obviously, and I think, you know, you got to find a playmaker on the perimeter. There's no question about it. But again, I think, you know, and again, we obviously haven't seen exactly the type of offense that they're going to run, but, you know, this offense is going to run more through tight ends and H-backs or fullbacks than it has here in quite some time.
Yep.
Right. And so that's the thing where if you think about a school like Wisconsin, when's the last, you know, Wisconsin does not run their offense through their wide receivers.
Yep.
You know, and so I think, you know, obviously Illinois, I think they're going to do it with the run game. You know, and I think you have playmakers at tight ends. You know, really look for Luke Ford to take a step. I think Daniel Barker is a very good player. And, you know, again, I think Brian Hightower, you know, showed some nice things last year, and somebody else has to step up.
Yep.
You know, but I think we're going to be seeing more, you know, two wide receiver sets than we're going to be seeing three and four wide receiver sets. I don't know. I'm fascinated to see kind of what it breaks down. But as you look at the roster construction, I think you can say, hey, I'd rather have a guy like Luke Ford and Daniel Barker on the field at the same time, and maybe have a fullback in there as well, and we can run our offense that way. And I think, you know, again, if you watch, you know, I've been watching a decent amount of the NFL lately, obviously, because college football's done, but it's fun to watch some of those offenses, and there's a lot of efficiency that can be gained by running multiple tight end sets because you're able to exploit things in coverage that you're not really able to exploit by throwing another receiver out there, because then they're going to match it with another defensive back. And so you don't get the exact same mismatches, offense versus defense, as you can by running some of those other personnel packages.
And if you do run a fullback out there, his last name, do you know what his last name might be, Martin?
Rosenthal?
I think it's Rosenthal. I think there's going to be a jersey out on the field with Rosenthal.
Oh, man.
Yes. Do you understand?
Is he on scholarship, though? Is he on scholarship?
He is, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so that's almost a mark against him, because otherwise it would be like the perfect, you know, walk-on fullback.
Yes.
Going to be starting. But you know what? I'm sure he'll take it.
I'll take it.
But hey, let's take the transfer from Michigan State. Absolutely. Welcome to the family.
Yes. I'll go to your house, and you've got an O'Donnell jersey hanging on the wall. You're going to come to my house, and I'm going to have a – yeah, there's my jersey from 21. Remember that year?
Let me just say,
yes.
When you interview him for the first time, yes. Don't come on too strong, too fast.
Have you met me? Good Lord, I've already DM'd him and he didn't respond. I already DM'd him like, hey, dude, you're a Rosenthal, I'm a Rosenthal. Like, hey, how's it going? You think we're related? We're probably not related. Yes. Absolutely. Has anyone ever met me?
Yeah, that poor kid.
Absolutely, like, that poor kid.
Who is this dude in my DMs?
With the same last name.
He's going to show up on the Zoom. He's like, oh, man. He looks exactly like I thought he did.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, Max. Hey, Max. Hi, Max.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, it's me. Hi. Hi, Max.
At Eli and I on Twitter. Hi.
Yes. Yes. Do you have an Uncle Joe who lives? No, I won't do it. I promise I won't do it. I promise. Okay, so wide receiver. See, wide receiver is where I would love to have like I'm a big fan of the freshman in the class of Patrick Bryant from Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be really good. So this is where I would just love to have that. Like, it's been so long since we had that breakout out of nowhere freshman receiver kind of, you know, Brandon Lloyd moment, or, you know,
it's Dudek.
Yes, Dudek, exactly. We need somebody to come on and be like that. Oh, wow. Who's this guy? Kind of thing. And maybe it's somebody in the, you know, maybe it's Frenchie. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's somebody who's right. already on the team that just hasn't been out there yet. But yeah, that's the big thing. I am interested to see, you know, so the last assistant was named, and obviously his roots trace back to being a GA under Bielma at Wisconsin. So with all these, it traces back to, you know, Aaron Henry traces back to playing for Bielma and then being a GA at Wisconsin, you know, this and that. So we all have this thought, right, that it's just going to be, well, what did Wisconsin do on offense? That's what we're going to do. And, you know, I'm curious, and we don't know that yet. Like,
we don't know, right?
We know they went out and got a fullback whose name's Rosenthal.
Right.
We know that they went out, like, that they're thinking in those directions, but we don't, you know, it could be the 07 Hump. Let's say you used a fullback, Russ Wild, baby, going up, climbing over Wisconsin player in the 07 Wisconsin game and catching that 30-yard pass, a Wisconsin team coached by Brett Bielema. You know, like, you could use, you know, they could be getting a fullback, but still running some of that Locksley stuff. So I guess we don't really know, and you know, we don't know yet, but we're assuming, I guess.
Yeah, right, and that's all we're doing right now is assuming, and you know, again, I hope, you know, I hope there's, I'm sure there will be to a certain extent, but you know, I hope there's opportunities to see this team in spring ball, just to see kind of how some of that stuff starts to, you know, get unpacked.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we have, well, actually, let's just switch to defense, because I got a text from Craig like an hour ago. Basically, he's writing, and I asked him to just write an article on the schemes. Like, okay, dig through Tony Peterson's past, dig through Ryan Walters. And Craig's big thing is who the assistants are to see. And when Andy Boo got hired, Craig sent me a text saying, if they also hire an OLB coach, I'm totally convinced it's going to be a 3-4. Like, it just is. And so he texted me tonight saying, like, okay, now I have the final piece that I need to say, here's the exact defense I think they're going to run. So he's writing that article. So if that's the case, let's at least, you know, talk through the roster there. So again, you get four guys back that you weren't exactly sure you were going to get back. You know, I was assuming Jamal Woods was coming back because he still has two more years of eligibility. You know, he had to redshirt in 2018 with an injury. So, you know, I was assuming he was coming back, but we didn't know, you know, Carney was on the transfer portal. We didn't know about Gay. We didn't know about Rod Perry. Right. So, you know, if we look at kind of a 3-4 kind of scheme, those three are really helpful. You know, Rod can be the nose Avery backing him up. You've got to have that guy. You know, if it is a 3-4, you've got to have a space eater of all space eaters shading the center. So just talk about, I mean, you face in 3-4s and this and that, you know, tell me about the what you see from this roster and if it is a 3-4.
No, I think it's great. Cause you know, obviously there's different ways to be multiple. Right. And, you know, again, but you know, really the big difference there is, you know, primarily with an odd front, you have different guys uncovered than are used to being uncovered. Right. If you're playing against a 4-3 defense, everybody's covered in some way, shape or form, but the center. Okay. And then, you know, basically if you're playing, you know, I'll just call it an odd front, you know, you can call it a 3-4. I mean, there's various iterations of it, but if you're playing an odd front, well, then the center has somebody directly on top of them. And then the angles are just different. The guards are generally uncovered. Right. And so you can have some of the, you know, what we'll call the defensive end, you know, the ends. And instead of being lined up on the outside shoulder of the tackle, they can either be head up on the tackle, they can be on the inside shoulder of the tackle. And so what it does is it's different blocking angles, and it allows you the ability to be more multiple in terms of where you bring pressure from and how guys are impacted by that. And then you'll stand up an outside linebacker on one side, you could stand them up on both sides. But what it just does is, again, if you have, you know, if you have the three down linemen and the four linebackers, again, those four linebackers are generally very athletic. And so you can run, you know, twists inside with them. You know, you can run slants and twists around. It gives you a lot of different options. And that's what, again, I keep going back to Wisconsin. But that's one thing that Wisconsin has done really well in the past, call it, you know, 5, 6, even 10 years, is Wisconsin always has really disruptive linebackers. And they do a really nice job of mixing them up and just causing confusion and causing the offense to have issues. And, you know, I think it's an interesting it's become, I think, a little bit more popular. And I think, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, defenses are using it to try to help against some of the RPO stuff. But I think it's fun. And I think, you know, that's why when a guy like Isaiah Gay says he's coming back, I think that's fantastic. Stand up outside edge rusher, you know, can drop back into coverage. You know, obviously Rod Perry is a huge piece there, not only just a space eater inside, but he's disruptive too, right? And you have somebody who can hold the point of attack. And then Owen Carney and Jamal Woods, I think, are really good, you know, kind of ends in a 3-4 scheme if that's where they're going to run, because they can be kind of tweeners. I mean, they're both strong, but they can provide pass rush and they can be solid against the run. So, you know, but you just look at it from the perspective of, instead of going into next year potentially replacing our entire defensive line. You got the entire defensive line back. And then, you know, one thing that, that Lovey and his staff did pretty well, I think, was recruit defensive linemen. So you have some young guys behind them that get that other year. You know, they're there to be the depth now. And, hey, push for a starting job, right? Don't be content with being depth. Push the guys ahead of you. But they get another year to kind of to develop and to come along. And, you know, then in 2022, you're in an even better position as far as that position group goes.
Yes. I think the 3-4 in my mind would be the best news for Seth Coleman. I think he would be the guy who, because he was always the, wow, he's really athletic and he can run like a tight end, run almost like a receiver. Like, he is really athletic. Can he get big enough to play defensive end? And once he does bulk up, is he going to lose some of that speed? Well, I think he's perfect for that kind of outside edge guy. You know, we'll see how they use him, and you know, we don't know much yet. So obviously, you know, we're sitting here going on and on about things we don't really know that we know yet. But, you know, you mentioned how it's, you know, an extra year for those guys. Well, you know, the thing with, say, a Seth Coleman is, like, he's a freshman next year. Like, that's the craziest. Right. He's a third year freshman. Right. So say he does, you know, he took the starting spot from Isaiah Gay this fall. He started the last four games over Gay. Who knows how that battle will come out or if they'll even be at the same position this year. But to have 4 years of Seth Coleman, if you do, and, you know, who knows, transfers, everything else, obviously, you know, we're assuming a lot. But if you have 4 years of Seth Coleman in this defense, there is, and even Keith Randolph is a really good end who's almost defensive tackle-ish for a 3-4. You know, Johnny Newton can be that kind of, you know, that,
right,
you know, five tech or whatever. So, like, it's really interesting on the defensive line that you have these four guys back, but then you also have this kind of second phase. You know, I would say that if those four guys did start with Isaiah Gay out on the edge, then you would have Coleman backing up Gay. You would have Avery backing up Perry at the nose. You would have Newton and Woods at the same spot, and you would have Randolph and Carney at the same spot. I think that's a defensive line one and a defensive line two kind of scenario. I think that sets up, like, pretty well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, here we go down this path again. See, here, I'm gonna have you help me here. Okay, so my worst season predictions for the website came in 2012 and in 2016.
Okay.
Both years, I thought the teams could win six games. I am at 6-6. 2012, they went 2-10. 2016, Lovey's first year, they went 3-9. I did that because you know, both teams kind of had somewhat like this. Well, there's a fair number of seniors coming back. There's one more year of this. But the scheme changes and other things that happened and just the newness and some confusion and everything else led to and coaching issues and everything else and coordinator issues both years. And, you know, those first two offensive coordinators for both coaches didn't last very long.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously there's all that stuff. But I made this promise to myself of, like, I'm not doing it again. I'm not buying into a first year because you know, it's that. And
you're ready to get hurt again. Yes. I can feel it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just start being like, well, you know, I mean, these freaking defensive line can do this. And if we can find some linebackers, you know, and you know, I've had these things rebuilt into my brain of, like, okay, just picture the second quarter of a game against, say it's the opener against Nebraska, and we realize we really have struggles in the back seven of the defense, and they're going to be there all year. You know, I try to fast forward my brain to those moments to say, okay, let's just remember what it looks like when it's not working and how that feels so helpless, and remembers that those things might happen. And let's try to balance all these happy thoughts you're having right now with those things that might happen in the future. So I'm trying to keep myself from going, you know, I think we can win seven or eight games next year. You know, like, I'll probably be there by August, obviously, because I'm me, but
obviously,
but, you know, I'm trying to, so let's try and, like, talk the downside, because I do think, you know, you only have three scholarship linebackers, four with the transfer. And then you have the two, three freshmen coming in. So you have depth issues there.
Yeah.
But
I'm not here to talk about the downside, Bob. I didn't sign up for that. That's not what January football's for.
How do we win 10 games? I mean, I know we're going to win 9. That's a given, right? How do we get to double digit wins? Just play the game. That just showing up.
Just lean into it, man. Yeah. Look. It's not. I don't. Yes, there's things that certainly need to get figured out.
Yes. There. Okay. We've acknowledged it. Okay. Now let's talk more good things.
Sure.
Having a 6th-year kicker and a 5th-year punter. How great is that?
It's a lot of experience.
That's right. That's the other thing here is like. It's just so weird to get a redo of the 2020 season because that's it's literally
unprecedented.
Yes, because that's what this is a try again. Okay, it was weird and COVID and the second and third game you had 10 guys who couldn't play just because of COVID plus injuries and all of this is happening. Okay, fine. You know, NCAA literally said, guys, you get a do-over. And now, like, Illinois fans quite literally get a do-over of pretty much the same team trying it again. So, it's January, but how do you feel about that? Like, am I too...
No, I think it's... I think it's great, you know, because, you know, like we talked about, it's obviously just an unprecedented situation. And, you know, I commend the NCAA for taking those actions that they took. And, you know, I look forward to them, you know, passing that rule at some point here, hopefully in the near future, to allow, you know, the freedom of movement for players. You know, they get kind of a freebie where you don't have to sit out. But I'm like you. I thought everything was pointing towards 2020, right? Mm-hmm. Get to a bowl game, breakthrough, have the 4-game win streak in the Big Ten, you know, in 2019. And you basically are bringing everybody back. You add a couple of really nice pieces, you know, in like a Rod Perry position, huge position of need. But then it just doesn't work. And that's the other thing, too, is it's, you know, I have no idea. You know, what it takes to build a college football program. I really don't. Mm-hmm. And just about everybody in the fan base has really no idea either, the intricacies, because you can say, hey, we need to do X, Y, Z. Then you have all the people and the personalities and the relationships internally, externally that you try to balance. And that's something that gives me comfort is I think Brett Bielema does know how to build a college football program. He's done it in 2 major conferences. And again, I think the staff is impressive when you look at it. I'm interested to see kind of how he builds out the rest of it, you know, not the on-field coaching assistance, but look, I'm going to stay positive again, because I really think that the talent on the 2020 team was there, and you missed some key pieces. Jake Hansen's a huge loss. Josh Amadorbebe is a big loss, but you have the other guys coming back, and it's not that we're going to see, you know, 2020 Owen Kearney as the same Owen Kearney in 2021. I'm expecting him to keep getting better. Right. And he's your second team, you know, all Big Ten defensive end. Yep. It's another year of development. And you can say, yes, everybody across the country should develop. Certainly, absolutely. But I do think the talent is there. I think the team was certainly better. The composition, the sum of its parts just didn't add up for some reason. I have no idea why. Again, that's a complex equation, but I'm very excited to see it happen again. I haven't taken a real look at the schedule next year other than allegedly we're playing in Ireland, which would be fantastic. Hope they keep doing it. But we'll see what winds up happening there. I'm excited. You know, Brandon Peters, obviously, you know, you have the Wisconsin game, and then he's out for several games. And it's just, I can't imagine how challenging it is to just be out and isolated in that kind of situation in the middle of a football season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that it's just so unprecedented. So I'm glad these guys have a chance, and hopefully things will be more normalized for the fall. Obviously the vaccine's getting rolled out, which is fantastic. And, you know, hopefully there's enough improvement to get fans in the stands, but either way, I'm just looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. And it's interesting if that doesn't happen, would they still do a week zero? You know, say, look, we're not traveling to Ireland, but we're still going to play Nebraska. would they play it in Champaign? You know, it's week zero.
It was a home game.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a home game. So it'd be in Champaign. Yes. Yes. So, you know, would they still keep it week zero, or would they try and find a common like bye week or whatever? You know, it's interesting to have a August 24th or whatever on the schedule, because, you know, that means everybody, you know, Illinois and Nebraska would start training camp a week before everybody else and would be the only teams in training camp, and it would be this accelerated schedule and everything else. So who knows how that goes, but let's see, what else? Virginia's in there this year, right? I don't have the schedule.
At Virginia.
Yeah. So yeah, this is, and let's see, this is the Texas San Antonio year, right?
UTSA is, I think it's supposed to be the week after Nebraska.
Yeah. So this, it'll be interesting. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe we're not in a better position as a country, and they go back to Big Ten only or something. You know, who knows? But yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to, you know, obviously I want like normalcy back, and I want to be able to like go to training camp, and I want him to restart Camp Rantoul, and I want, you know, all this, you know. All this.
It took 40 minutes in for you to mention that. I was wondering. I was timing 41 minutes. Sorry. Yeah.
Just get me to a greasy breakfast at the Red Wheel, and I'm happy. Just get the Red Wheel open again. But yeah, the thing about a coaching change, you know, I'm going to be positive about basically every coach that's hired, and I'm going to hope for something new, and that this will be the one. And even though the last five coaches have all been fired, I'm going to hope the sixth guy is that guy. And I'm just kind of looking forward to maybe restarting that process, because this fall for me was such a letdown and such a, this is it, build up. We finally clicked against Wisconsin. We got there, four-game winning streak, 6-6, bowl, everyone back. Here we go. And then just fall flat. So, I've started to find this hope in just like, let's just get something new and maybe get fans back on the stands and just get back to, you know, like, end of the day, I don't really, really care. I'm still going to be at the game. I'm still going to be tailgating. This is going to be part of my life. You know, I moved here, you know, so I'm just really looking forward to I just want college football back, and I want a Saturday in Champaign back. And I want, you know, that I just really, really need that right now. And so, you know, I'm maybe tapping into some of that with, you know, my excitement at this staff. So, I guess the other question is kind of like how spring goes now with, you know, it all got canceled last year. They will do, you know, with testing, obviously they'll do a spring ball this year. I don't know if they'll open any up to media or even fans or even have a spring game. I guess we don't know, but there's a lot that can be learned. Like take me to 2005 like spring 05, you've dropped all the Turner stuff and you're learning the Locksley offense. And, you know, what was that spring like for you with a coaching change?
Yeah. I mean, it was just a lot of, there's a lot of install that happens up front, and I'm sure as soon as they can start meeting, that's what they're going to do, is just kind of going through the playbooks, you know, talking about the schemes, talking about, you know, what they're trying to accomplish, understanding the underlying philosophy, things like that. But then a lot of, you know, obviously, a lot, you know, different people learn differently. They obviously in football, a lot of guys learn by doing, right? You can sit in front of a dry erase board and say, okay, I understand what to do there, but you don't really understand what to do there until you do it physically. And then there's just there winds up being a lot of, you know, what I would call like terminology translation. They say, okay, you know, in our new playbook, 56, you know, means this. Okay. So 56 is like, you know, 16 before. Okay. So that's kind of what you're talking. And so you have the guys just kind of working through it together. And, you know, again, and I think, that's where I think having, you know, a lot of seniors on the team will help, because they'll provide that leadership. And I think, you know, though, I also assume that they're going to be guys that they're getting guys together outside of, you know, kind of the structured practices and talking through things or having additional walkthroughs, things like that. So there's just a lot of translation that goes on. And then it's just a matter of just getting as many kind of live reps as possible in order for guys to really kind of learn, okay, what do I do in this situation? And it all starts very – you know, like anything else, you know, anything else new you're trying to learn, starts very basic, very vanilla. Then you add a wrinkle, and then you go, you know, add maybe another wrinkle, and then you go to the next thing, you know, real basic, very vanilla, add a couple wrinkles, add a couple wrinkles. And then you're just kind of building, you know, one day on top of another. So there's a lot of, you know, mental translation and things like that. But then at the end of the day, just go out there and play ball and just try to, you know, figure it out. But again, I think, you know, offensively, it's going to help a lot having a guy like Doug Kramer back.
Yeah.
Right. Doug's a very smart guy, very experienced football player. He's going to be the one up there making the calls. Again, if you have an offensive line, if your center and quarterback have you on the right page, it's going to be a pretty good start. Now, defensively with the linebackers, right, you're going to have somebody out there that's really kind of, you know, that, you know, the guy who's making the calls on defense and can do that. So they got to find out who that is. And that's just going to be somebody on that side of the ball really taking ownership. And maybe you get, you know, maybe some of the safeties can take a piece of that too. Maybe that's Tony Adams, whether he's at safety. You know, maybe he's helping to make sure the guys get lined up right. But it's a lot of learning. It's a lot of, okay, they're saying it's this. What's this like in my old world? Okay, in the old world, it was this. And so now I just got to equate those two terms and we'll move forward.
Didn't you go tackle to guard at some point? When did you – you did a little right tackle at some point, didn't you?
Yeah, I did tackle – I think I was a tackle my redshirt year and then almost through all of training camp my redshirt freshman year. And then I wound up playing guard mostly.
But that was because
– exclusively.
That was because of an injury, right? Wasn't there a
– Yeah, yeah. I was kind of like bouncing between guard and tackle as a backup. And then, yeah, and then Brian Koch got hurt, and so I went and played guard.
And then you stayed a guard? Because I guess I had in my mind mm-hmm. that maybe – like Zook tried you at tackle or something, and then or you were guard all 3 years with Zook with Locksley's offense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and left guard the whole time, or did you ever?
Yeah. Generally, in Turner's offense, the guards had to be more mobile, and I was young and spry. Yes. And then actually, in Locksley's offense, and in that spread, you actually, you know, the tackles had to have the ability to be more mobile because, you know, we'd run some double screens and they'd have to go and get out and block the corners and stuff like that. And so I was better served just kind of, I don't know, hanging with the fat boys in the middle.
Yeah. I'm curious. See, I asked that because, like, okay, so I've plugged in Blake Jarisotti left guard. Okay. Kendrick Green's gone, mm-hmm. this and that. We don't know that. Like, Paltrow was a left guard in 2017. People don't remember mm-hmm. this. Paltrow's first year, he only played left guard. He didn't move to right tackle until his sophomore
right.
year. Who's to say Paltrow doesn't go left guard here? You know, who's to say they don't go beefy and they want taller reach guys like Julian Pearl outside or Moses Opala comes out of nowhere and is like, oh, that's the tackle for this offense. So I'm curious how this is going to go.
Again, and that's something I'm really interested to watch is just kind of, you know, because again, you know, what I said there with, you know, Turner and Locksley stuff is, you know, kind of generalizations. But again, it's what does your playbook look like and what are you trying to get out of those players at those positions? And, you know, generally, and again, obviously football has changed in the, you know, 15 years or whatever since I played. But yeah, I mean, and now I think Illinois has options. I thought Julian Pearl was really impressive last year when he played. I thought Virtus Brown had a great year. Virtus started the whole year. I mean, so Illinois, we have some depth. There's going to be a guy who started for a significant portion of last year that's not going to start this year, most likely. So again, nice to have options there. And again, that's something that is all just, I think there's going to be a lot of experimenting in terms of trying guys at different positions on both sides of the ball this spring as the coaches learn the players, as the players learn the coaches, and as they all figure out how does it fit together in the offense and defense that Illinois is trying to run now.
Okay, I have one final question for you. How old is your oldest son?
Six.
Okay, so he's going to be recruiting class of like 2033.
Sure.
Will he? No, 2032 maybe. Okay, we'll figure that out later. Will Brett Bielema be the head coach at Illinois recruiting your son when he's a superstar? Oh, you're probably going to send him to IMG or something. You won't have him at Champaign Centennial.
No.
You'll probably have him.
Maybe go to IMG.
Okay, so when he's the top offensive tackle in the nation,
More of a guard build right now.
Yeah. Okay. So
pulling
he's,
guard. Yeah.
So he's the pulling guard of sure. of our dreams. And so he'll start getting recruited in, let's see if he's six now. He'll start getting recruited when he's 15. So 9 years. Will your son hear from Illinois head coach Brett Bielema? Which is more or less just a question of, do you think he can be a coach who could be here for a decade?
Yeah.
The end. Yes. My answer is yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes.
Yes. I mean, because I kind of get that sense of, like, this one seems like a, if it works, even if it worked on an Arkansas level, like if he's 29 and 35 after 5 years, I think he gets extended, right? Like first year bad, then he was what, 7 wins, 8 wins, 6 wins, and then a bad year and he was fired at Arkansas. If he did 7, 8, 6, 4 at Illinois, I think he keeps his job, right?
What year's records are we talking about now?
Okay. At Arkansas.
Okay.
I think he went 3 wins his first year. Then he won 6. Okay. No, then he won 7.
Let's go back to the question. Okay. Yes, I do believe it, that, again, what it comes down to is there's no reason Illinois should not be competitive within its division and within the Big Ten Conference every single year.
Yes.
Every single year. And I think Illinois is better positioned now than maybe it ever has been. The facilities are there. Obviously, Josh Whitman is invested in the success of the program. I've been immeasurably impressed by Brett Bielema and the staff that he's put together. I think they have a good group of guys. I like the vision. I like where it's going. And why would you get excited about the staff if you don't think he could be here in 10 years, right? Yeah,
right.
That's what we all want, stability.
Right.
Yes. Stability in the Illinois football program. And it's like, look, we're not going to win national championships every year. I think we can contend for division championships every year. I think you can have years, '01, '07, those shouldn't be two blips in a 20-year span, right? I mean, you should have teams that are ready to compete at that level. And I think that's what the expectation is. I mean, that's what I expect, because I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And it's like, look, you can do it and you can get there. The hard part is obviously sustaining it.
Yep.
And so, like, let's get there first, and then let's work on this sustaining it part. Because, again, I think it's helpful just looking at the resume and the track record of Bielema. So I'm in. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, then we'll see him on your how are you going to be as a recruiting dad when your son's starting to get recruited? Like, are you going to?
I don't know. It'll probably be like holograms and who knows?
The in-home visit will be a hologram? Yes.
I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have
there'll be like illicit trips to the moon or something? I don't know.
Do they have JFL for 6 year olds? Like, when do kids start playing football?
We did flag football this fall. Thank you very much.
Okay. What did he play?
Kid who ran around and asked for the ball, like every other 6 year old that was on our team.
You were coaching, like, right?
Well, yeah, and there I had to play quarterback too. It was not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay, we're not done yet. Let's talk about this, because my neighbor told me, like, her grandson played against your son or something like that, or some anyway.
Yeah.
Someone saw you coaching. So
sure, I was out there.
Let's talk about your quarterback stats. Let's talk about completion percentage. Let's talk about what kind. Are you a mobile quarterback? Do you throw darts?
No.
Do you have touch? What is it?
Pocket passer.
Yep.
Mediocre awareness.
Yep.
But I just go deep.
Yeah. Just Rex Grossman.
All goes. Yeah. Well, all deep, and then you have the one little outlet, right? And so, because they allowed you the ability to run the ball to flag football, but that's not fun.
Wait a minute. You could run?
No, not me. Not me. You could hand the ball off, right?
You know, so, the mental picture I have right now of you taking the snap. Two counts, and then go with six-year-olds flying in every direction.
Yeah. No, it was great. I mean, because I didn't coach alone. You know, Nathan Watson, who's the coach at St. Thomas More here in Champaign, you know, Nate and I were both the coaches for the teams because our kids were on the team. So he had it all, like, schemed out and everything. He had, like, cards and all that. Mm-hmm. Was great. He had, like, wristbands. Like, it was fantastic. But the kids were six, and they got confused. And so it just boiled down to, like, hey, let's try to get everybody to catch. I'll go. We led
you
the
three
in
go.
Fun.
You didn't do any like fun. We're gonna roll to the right and we're gonna drag a receiver across left and you're gonna be wide open because all the kids are gonna follow the motion to the. Did you do any trickeration like that? Little AJ
no,
Jenkins
a couple,
drag route.
No, we did a couple of things where you just tell everybody to go deep, but then you pull one kid to the side and be like, "You just hang back." And then, make sure you just yell to everybody on the other team. Okay, everybody run deep, and then all the other kids are gone, and then you just got a little dump off pass.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then give me your highlight throw this season. Does anything come to mind where you picture like the perfect spiral to a kid who caught it over his shoulder?
The highlight of my season was I didn't hit any kids in the face with the football. That's the highlight. I think everybody made it through safely.
Yep.
We had a very fun team at the YMCA here in Champaign. It had a great time. They put on a great program. And that was all I tried to do. And so I didn't want to drill a kid in the face. And we were successfully did not do that.
Love it. Love it. And when do they go to kids throw the ball? Like at what age do they, is it next year that the dad throws
probably,
over?
Yeah, probably. Okay. Probably.
Okay. So are you going to give him the ball? Are you going to let him try out the cannon or are you going to, what are you going to do?
We got work to do in the backyard before we can talk about that. Mikey's got a good work ethic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good work ethic.
Good work ethic.
Okay. Well, I'll keep the fans abreast.
Coachable, wants to improve. Yeah.
Yes. How's his vision? Like how's his pocket presence? You know, how's his being nice to his sister? How's everything? You know,
great kid off the field. We're working on the on the field skills.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Okay, man. I appreciate you doing this. Thanks for hanging out with me. And let's have some fun at football games. What do you say?
Absolutely. Go Illini.
I love it. I love it.